Focus on the scriptures for a few moments here. And when I say focus, you're going to have to really think with me for a few minutes to understand what I'm about to describe to you. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Thanks for being here. If you're visiting, again, thanks for coming. Hope everybody will come back at 6 o'clock. Whether it's rained a quarter of an inch, the windshield wipers still work just fine. Thank God we don't have to get the ice scrapers out. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 12, when Brother Pollock, that little plug-in that kept the oil going up there in Alaska. 2 Samuel chapter 12, watch carefully with me if you would. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1, "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David." Get the players. The Lord is going to send Nathan the prophet, who has, by the way, come in before David many times before. And God's going to give Nathan something specific to say to David, the king of, if you would, Israel and Judah. And God's going to send Nathan with some specific words, and he came unto him. Nathan comes to David and said unto him, "There were two men in one city." These are the words of the Lord. He's coming straight from God. "The one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds." And so you begin to understand, brethren, who the rich man is and who the poor man is. Let me just give you a little coaching along the way in verse 2. "The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds." The rich man is, in fact, David. Is that right? "But the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb." The poor man is Uriah the Hittite. And if you say, where do you get all this from? It's in 2 Samuel chapter 11, the chapter before, but trust me. "But save one little," verse 3 of 2 Samuel 12, "save one little ewe lamb," that's Bathsheba. Let's go back again, verse 2. "The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds," that's David. "But the poor man," Uriah the Hittite, "had nothing save one little ewe lamb," that's Bathsheba, "which he had brought up and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay his own bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler." Unto who? The rich man. And who's the rich man? Say it. David. So a traveler comes to David, the rich man. And he, David, the rich man, spared to take of his own flock. He didn't take of his own flock, of his own herd, to dress for the wayfaring man, that's the traveler, that was come unto him, but took of the poor man's lamb, Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, and dressed it for the man that was come to him, David. Are we okay so far? Let me go back over that again in verse 4, because if you're new to the Bible, it's like, wow, I didn't get that. "And there came a traveler unto the rich man." The rich man is David. Somebody showed up to David, and he spared to take of his own flock. David didn't take of his own flock and his own herd to give to that traveler. But what he did, he took of somebody else's flock, of somebody else's herd, to dress for that wayfaring man that was coming to him. "But took of the poor man's lamb," Uriah's lamb, which was Bathsheba, "and dressed it," Bathsheba, "for the man that was come to him." The question is, first of all, who is the traveler? Who's the wayfaring man? Who's the man that had come to David and demanded to be satisfied? Somebody says, well, you know, it's Satan. Well, Satan empowers the traveler, and Satan uses the wayfaring man, and Satan uses the man, if you would, that was come to David. But the man that was come to David, the traveler, the wayfaring man that needed to be satisfied, was David's old carnal nature. Is that right? You see, that carnal nature just is no pity. It's no, if you would, it cannot be satisfied. It doesn't matter what gets in its way. It's relentless. It's demanding. It's dictatorial. And it had to have what it wanted. And the old nature showed up to David and said, I want something from you, and you'll get it for me. Now, let me make this statement so you understand. You say, man, we're in the Old Testament. But David was a man after God's own what? Heart. So evidently God had given David a certain heart, and he did it when he filled David with his spirit. Would you agree with that? So David had this carnal nature, if you would, stay with me. You say, wait a minute, I don't understand where the traveler, stay with me and watch verse 5. "And David's anger was greatly kindled against" who? The man. Who's David angry with? He doesn't know it yet, but he's angry with himself. He's hearing this parable and saying, this is terrible. Hey, that man who came and took of somebody else's flock, that was selfish, that was terrible. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, verse 5, the man that has done this thing shall surely, what? Die. And by the way, that would have been the good thing to happen inside of David for that old nature to die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, watch, and because he had, say it, no pity. You see, the old nature, that travel, that wayfaring man, sure, Satan in powers, and sure, if you would, Satan walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But brethren, if he's going to devour us, he'll use our old nature. He'll influence our old nature. He'll go after our old nature. And you have one inside of you just like I do, male and female, doesn't matter the age. Everybody in this room has an old nature. I didn't say everybody in this room has a new nature yet. Because you must be born again, is that right? If you somebody says, does everybody have an old nature? Everybody has an old nature. The only one that didn't have an old nature was Jesus Christ. So the traveler shows up and demands of David something and is relentless in his desires, if you would, and is never satisfied. And the Bible says this in verse 7, watch, and Nathan said to David, thou art the man. David, you're the traveler. You say, wait a minute, how could David be the rich man and the traveler at the same time? Because we have two personalities within us. We have an old nature and a new nature. Would you agree with that? Stay with me. We have an old man and we have a new man. We have a carnal man and we have a spiritual man. And that carnal man is enmity against God. That carnal man is the enemy against God. And when that traveler showed up, that wayfaring man, just traveling, just passing through, just demanding, just disorienting, if you would, he was there to destroy David, but even more, he was there to destroy the kingdom. He was there to destroy the team. He was there to destroy the trust. He was there that David would blaspheme God. And ultimately, that's what Satan wanted. He wanted David, if you would, in his own nature, to do something that would, if you would, do something in such a way that would blaspheme God, that would hinder God's work, that would cause disruption in David's work for God, and it destroyed the team. You say, wait a minute, the kingdom went on, but the trust never was the same. The camaraderie never was the same. It never was the same in David's household. Oh, could there be forgiveness? Sure, but it never was quite the same. You say, now read that to me again. Look at verse 2, stay with me. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. Who was that? David was blessed of God in such a great way. But the poor man, Uriah, had nothing save one little ewe lamb, Bathsheba. Verse 4, and there came a traveler, old nature carnal, unto the rich man David. And he spared to take of his own flock. David didn't do his own flock, and if you would, if his own wife, but he went over to Uriah's flock, if you would, and took the one lamb that he had, and he dressed it up for that wayfaring man that was traveling through with his lusts and his desires, and he got that poor man's lamb and dressed it and gave it to his old carnal nature to try to satisfy that carnal nature. Are we still all right? You say, wait a minute, I thought Satan would be the one. Satan is involved, we know that for a fact. And the Bible says in verse 5, and David's anger was kindled against that man. Look, if you would, at chapter 11. Everybody still all right? Chapter 11. Verse 2. And it came to pass in eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roofs of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. By the way, David knew who it was. He knew it was Bathsheba, but David was not on that rooftop alone. You say, who was there with him? The traveler. A wayfaring man just passing by of a day. And there was an evil day appointed to David on that day, Ephesians chapter 6. And on that day, the traveler had David. He had him right where he wanted him. The old nature had David, and the carnal nature had David. And Satan was empowering the old nature, and he wasn't there alone. And the old nature said, I want her. And David, like a sheep gone to the slaughter, like a man going after stolen waters. We don't need to go in detail. You can read the story. And the traveler gets what he wants, and he's just passing on by. But everywhere he passes, and everywhere he, if you would, lingers a while, and everywhere where we give him the chance, he destroys. He disrupts. He breaks trust. He ruins people's life. Hey, right here, that traveler, that old carnal nature, ruined the marriage of Uriah the Hittite and Bathsheba. That traveler ruined the relationship between David and Ahithophel. That traveler ruined, if you would, the camaraderie of David's team and David's kingdom. Oh yes, there can be forgiveness, but it never will quite be the same. And David, if you would, follows after the traveler and gives in, if you would, to those relentless desires. And if you understand what happens next, then David, still in control by the traveler, still being influenced, the traveler sets up something inside of David and says, now you've got to bring Uriah the Hittite back, and you've got to cover me up. You've got to cover what I've done. We have to make it look like we didn't do this, and the traveler always does it that way. The carnal man does not want to be exposed for who he really is. So David brings back Uriah the Hittite, and look in verse 13. And David had called him, and he did eat and drink before him, and made him drunk. That's the traveler. That's the carnal nature. Brother, may I say something? That carnal nature, that natural man, is enmity against God. He makes, if you would, Uriah drunk in trying to cover this up. And then the traveler, if you would, influences David to write a letter to Joab to put Uriah in the hottest part of the battle, to kill him, to murder him. And David goes along with it. Hey, look up here. Don't look at me like I don't know what I'm talking about. Inside of each one of us is a wicked old nature. And given half a chance to rise up again, it'll do things, maybe not such in this way, but it'll do things to disrupt our lives, to destroy us, to destroy relationships, to destroy our influence, our businesses, our families, our homes, our ministry, our church. And the Bible says that Uriah the Hittite dies, but the traveler's not done yet. Because if you read in chapter 11 and verse 26, and when the wife of Uriah, that's Bathsheba, heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when the mourning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house. Don't you think that traveler, and everybody thought, oh, what a noble act. David, the king, is if you would, comforting one of the wives of his mightiest men. One of them is Uriah, and now Uriah is dead. And so David has brought her into his house to take care of now this widow of the mighty man. David was covering something up. That woman was walking in, and if you would, she was with child. But not after morality. Immorality had been committed, is that correct? And David brings her into her household, and for months and months and months, she's hidden away in there. And David's still covering up. And David's away from God, because the traveler pulls us away from God. He's a wayfaring man just passing through, and he's a carnal old nature, if you would, empowered by Satan, that if you'll do this, if you'll do that, and you'll ask this, and you'll ask that, and you'll want this, and you'll want that, it'll draw us farther and farther away from God, because the Bible says the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. He covered it and covered it and covered it. By the way, let me remind you of something about David here. It was the same one that danced before the Lord with the linen ephod. It was the same one that delighted, if you would, to bring in the ark of God. Stay with me. It was the same one whose heart smote him when he cut off the Saul's little garment. Wait a minute. It was the same one that killed Goliath. But a greater than Goliath had showed up. You see, David could see Goliath, and David, empowered by God, went after Goliath. But David couldn't see who this traveler was. He was deceived. And the traveler and the wayfaring man is much greater than Goliath. Somebody says, who's our greatest enemy? And somebody would say, Satan. I agree with that. But I'm going to tell you, somebody much closer to you than Satan. It's an old carnal nature that's in every one of us. Ladies, you have one too. Young men, you have one too. Come on, look up here. Everybody has one. But ladies, you also have, if you're saved, the hidden man of the heart to expose the traveler. You know why couples and marriages and husband and wife fight and fight and fight and fight and fight and fight? It's the traveler showed up. It's the old natures fighting with each other, because the new natures will forbear and forgive and go on. Is that right? And a greater, if you would, than the Goliath shows up. And David, if you would, doesn't know how to handle this. Why? Because David, if you would, is encaptured on that evil day and can't see it. And the traveler's in control. How do we know about this traveler? Look at 1 John chapter 2. Stay with me. 1 John, we still all right? 1 John chapter 2. And if you're a leader in some way, shape, or form, whether in your own home or in some way, shape, or form in business or in a ministry, an evil day will be appointed to you and I also. 1 John chapter 2. That doesn't say we have to give in to it. That just says we better be watchful, we better walk circumspectly, and we better realize that Satan is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may. May. That's permission. Who's going to give him permission today to empower the traveler, to allow the traveler to take charge? Who's going to give that permission? Who's going to be walking in the flesh and be carnal? And the Satan shows up and said, there's one. That's an easy target. Are we still all right? Look, if you would, in 1 John chapter 2 and James chapter 4. The whole team was disrupted. Everything was out of orientation after this. And there was penalties coming down on David's household and on David himself. David defends and tries to cover up for that traveler. It's a terrible thing to do. 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 15. Stay with me. Verse 15, you're doing well, brethren. It says this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Wait a minute, now it describes specifically what the world is. Verse 16, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Right there you see the characteristics of the traveler. That old nature, what is the characteristics of the old nature? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. I'll use other words, covetousness. I'll use other words, anger. Ungodly anger, unforgiven anger, if you would, grudges and bitterness. You say, what does that fall under? The pride of life. Only by pride cometh contentions. You see, that old nature just loves to get in angry arguments and just loves to be frozen in that state of bitterness. Just loves that. And I'm telling you tonight, brother, and this morning, brother, the traveler is going to come by our way, but the traveler needs to go back on the cross, be crucified again, be buried by the Holy Spirit of God, and you say, oh, once and for all to be done. Not till you're out of this life. That's why we have to die how often? Daily. That's why that old traveler, he says, hey, I die daily. Who dies daily? It's not the new nature that dies. It's that old nature that needs to die daily. That needs to be crucified and killed all the day long. So the idea is, what's the traveler? What does he use? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Look at James chapter 4. Everybody all right? James chapter 4, he says, the world. Here's the characteristics of the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now watch James 4:4. The adulterers and adulteresses. Know ye not that the friendship of the what? Say it. World is what? Enmity with God. Let me give you another way. The friendship of the lust of the flesh is an enemy with God. That's what the world is about, right? The friendship of the lust of the eyes is enmity with God. The friendship of the pride of life is enmity with God. You say, preacher, why do you preach standards in your church? So we don't get too friendly with the world. So we don't get too friendly with lust. So we don't get too friendly with pride. So we don't bump up and rub up against the lust of the eyes. So we stay away from that company. Why? That'll make an enemy to God, and that'll draw us away from God and give the traveler so much to where he can destroy our influence and blaspheme God. Look at James chapter 1. Watch now. Don't miss it. James chapter 1. Everybody all right? James 1. Watch. We're describing the problem of the traveler. Verse 14. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and what? Enticed. You say, brother, you keep drawing back. It could be covetousness. It could be lying. It could be cheating. It could be stealing. It could be whispering. It could be gossiping. It could be anger. It could be bitterness. But what he says, a man is drawn away of his own lust. That's that traveler. That's that old nature. You know what, after a while, I don't buy this at all. A man says, she seduced me. When I hear some leader say, she seduced me, I think, You're covering up for the traveler. You're covering up for the wayfaring man. The Bible says a man is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Don't tell me she seduced me. Oh, maybe she did, but you didn't have to give in to the seduction, brother. Come on, is that right? If you're flirting with that secretary, you better stop it right now, brother. Say, I don't have a secretary. Wherever and whoever she is, if she's not your wife, there's a neighbor, another church member. You say, why are you preaching this? Because God told me to. I have no faces in my mind today, but this is good preventative maintenance. You see, people get anger and hurt and bitter and distrust forms. Why? Because the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's enmity with God. And the Holy Spirit wants to kill that off in our lives. But a man will be drawn away of his own lust and enticed. 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 Come on. Enticed. The wayfaring man passes by and entices. And he passes by again and entices. That wasn't done overnight. Somebody says, oh, it was just one bad night. Oh, no. There was a series of, if you would, events leading up to that. No doubt in my mind where the traveler showed up and said, David, look. Look, David. And God said, hey, David, look what I've given you. I've given you all these different things. I've given you everything. And I'm going to go back and read it to you. And I want you to listen what the rich man had. And I believe if you'll listen, you'll see. I anointed the king over Israel, rich man. I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, rich man. I gave thee thy master's house, rich man, David. Thy master's wives into thy bosom, rich man. And gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah, rich man. And if that had been too little, I would have moreover given thee such and such things. Hey, rich man, I gave you everything. I took you from the sheep coat and I gave you everything, rich man. But look up here, the traveler, it's never enough. He's not satisfied. If he were in control today, he's not satisfied right now. You see, our culture is being swayed, and I won't get off track, but our culture is being swayed. It's getting worse and worse. Why? Old natures are controlling our culture. And they're making things relative now. Don't take this long, and somebody's going to get offended, but don't get up and walk out, please. Stay for the message. Years and years ago, in the little community that I grew up as a little boy, if two people were living together out of wedlock, they were thought of as tramps. They don't say that. I just said it. That was a cultural thing in our community. If they were living together out of wedlock, we were taught they were a little trampy and to stay away from them. Now, where are we now? Hey, don't call me that. I didn't call anybody anything. I'm just saying what it used to be in our culture. You say, well, it's not that way anywhere. Let's go back to the Bible and see what he calls them. Adulteresses and adulterers. That's what he calls them. I'm not trying to put anybody down, but let's name it what it really is. You see, the traveler would say, wait a minute, it's not that bad. Let's just change what's right and wrong. I've done no wrong. Proverbs. We all still all right? Look, if you went a little further and look at Ephesians 6. Don't miss this, please. Ephesians chapter 6. Thanks for staying. Boy, the traveler would like to get up and walk out right now, wouldn't he? Ephesians chapter 6. Come on. Why? He's being exposed. That old carnal nature right now is saying, let's get out of here. Let's not listen to this yelling anymore. Look at him up there. He's yelling at you. Get out of here. You shouldn't be yelled at. Stay where you're at. Yeah. Don't cover for him anymore. Yeah. He'll destroy you. And by the way, you say, how do you know about this? Everybody has a traveler in them. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Watch what it says. It's talking about in verse 10 through 17, putting on that armor and praying. And why does it say that? Look at verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Why? That ye may be able to do what? Withstand. When? In the evil day. You say, when's the evil day? When the traveler comes by. And having done all to stand, you say, now wait a minute, what's going to happen if I don't have that armor on? What's going to happen when that traveler comes by? The opposite of standing is falling. David fell that day. God did not condemn him to death, but he fell. And there were repercussions in the kingdom because he fell. When a leader falls, there's always repercussions. He said to stand in that evil day. What's going on in the scripture is he says, hey, be careful about the wiles of the devil, the tricks. Be careful about the darts, the fiery darts that's going to dart you. Look up here, listen. David had been darted and darted and darted and darted. And Satan had darted him and weakened him down in such a way that his old man rose up and he was darted and darted and darted. What was he darted with? Lust. Towards a specific woman. As an evil day appointed. Now, brethren, we've described the problem, but let's describe the solution. Because let's not go out of here and say, oh, I'm condemned to the traveler. No way, shape, or form. Don't tell me he's going to get me and there's nothing I can do about it. By the way, you know what drug addiction is? It's the old carnal nature never satisfied. Come on, is that right? You say, oh, no, you know, it's the old carnal nature. You know what alcoholism is? Well, somebody says it's a sickness. It's the old carnal nature. Not satisfied. And in control. And we have people in this room who've got victory over it and would say, all right, call it whatever you want. Let the world call it whatever you want. But when you really get down to it and you get before God's judgment seat, he'll call it sin. You say, what does the Bible call it? Drunkenness. That's not to put anybody down. That's that wayfaring man passing through. Saying we need it today again. You can't live without it. And the Holy Spirit will say, you can live without it. I can release you from the desires of that alcohol. I can release you from the desires of that drug. I can release you from the desires of that anger and bitterness. I can release you from that drunkenness. I can release you from that lust. I can release you. Let me destroy that old nature. The Bible says this. Look at John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, would you also pick up 2 Corinthians chapter 4? John 3 and 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You say, brother, you're so intense this morning. It's not something to laugh about. It's something to be sober about. It's something to walk circumspectly about. John 3 and 2 Corinthians 4, let's talk about the solution. John 3 and 2 Corinthians 4, thanks for turning there. All right, John 3. Watch this little scripture. You're doing well. Thanks for being here. Verse 30. John simply says this. He must do what? Increase. Who's he talking about? The Lord Jesus. And John says this, but I must what? Decrease. And by the way, John was saying, I must decrease and the Lord Jesus Christ must increase. But that also applies to us within ourselves, inside of us. He must increase and I must decrease. Is that right? How do you know that? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. How is this decrease possible without losing your confidence and everything? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Watch now. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man, connected to the carnal nature, is that right? Our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed. How often? Day by day. Now I want you to focus in on that last little phrase. The inward man must be renewed, must be refreshed, must be replenished. How often? Day by day. And let me ask you a question. Does a man need to be killed? Every day. So every day the carnal man must die, must be crucified.
But every day, with that happening also, the inward man must be renewed day by day. So on a daily basis, that evil day may come upon us, but when it comes, we'll be strengthened with the armor of God. Why? Because the inward man is renewed day by day, and that outward man, which is the carnal man, is killed off all the day long. But in Galatians chapter 2, you're doing well. Galatians chapter 2, this is not a one-time thing. This is not, I got saved, so everything's okay, and I don't have to worry about that anymore. Stay with me. Look at Galatians chapter 2. You know this, but I want you to see it, please. Galatians chapter 2. The day-by-day renewal. That's why we say, be in your Bible every day. Be in prayer every day. That's why we try to encourage you to church twice a day on Sunday. Why? Because faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the what? The Word of God. And just be around it. And you never know, when you walk in, you go, wow. I'll never be the same after that. I'll never be the same. Something, the light bulb turned on. I've never seen it like that before. And now I see clearly. Don't miss tonight. Look at Galatians chapter 2. Watch, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Let me ask you a question. Who's the I? Old man. Old nature. Traveler. Nevertheless, I live. Who's that I? New man. Created after Christ Jesus. Spiritual man. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I, new man, now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Brother, old man, new man. The old man, the carnal man, is enmity against God according to Romans 8. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It won't follow the rules of God. It can't understand the things of God, 1 Corinthians 2. And the only thing that can happen is the Spirit will mortify the deeds of the flesh and kill it. Galatians, you right there? Look over at Galatians 5 while we're right there. Come on. You're doing well, Galatians 5. And the carnal mind would say, no, 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 you need me. And the old nature would say, oh, you need me. We don't need him. Don't cover up for him. Don't want to have anything to do with him. Sick of him. You know what David said? That man surely shall die. He didn't know it, but he was talking about himself. David hated what that man did. When Nathan described the parable to it, Nathan, if you would, David got angry with that man that took that little ewe lamb. David didn't know it, but he was getting angry with himself. Best thing you can do is get angry with that old nature. Get sick of it. Galatians 5, look at verse 17, you're doing well. For the flesh lusteth against the who? The Spirit. You say, who's the flesh? Old nature. Natural man, wayfaring man, just passing through, the traveler. The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Verse 19, here's the works of the traveler. Here's the works of the wayfaring man. Adultery, fornication. Hey, you read on down, and you'll see him listed there. But that doesn't mean we have to live in it. Verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit. It's the opposite, brethren. It's love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. Watch verse 24. And they that are Christ, owned by God, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I need to give you two more scriptures. Look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. We're almost finished. I'm going to let you out of here a little early so you come back tonight. Come on, you're doing well. We all right? Acts chapter 1. You say, man, I can't believe this. Where's the funny stories? No funny stories this morning. You can't make fun of this stuff. You can't laugh at it. You can't mock it. It's got to be sober, circumspect. Because here's what will happen. The traveler will come to you, and you don't want to be laughing at it. He'll want you to laugh at him and, oh, just, you know, yeah, it's no big deal. Look what that guy's saying up there. The preaching of the cross. Powerful. To the traveler, it's foolishness. He doesn't believe it. He doesn't understand it. I want to say right now, you're in Acts chapter 1. If you've never received Christ as Savior, never been born again, the traveler is controlling you. But he doesn't have to. You get saved today, and that crucifixion will start. You say, now wait a minute, what happens when the crucifixion of the old man starts? You'll change. You will be released. You know what some people say? When I get better, when I get some things in order, then I'll get saved. You can't kill the old nature. I can't kill the old nature. It's not I'll get better. Somebody says, it's Lent. I'll get better, then I'll get saved. God takes you just like you are. He understands the old nature. He's not saving the old nature. He's not doing a makeover of the old nature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. He doesn't say, let me remake that old nature. He says, let me crucify that old nature and put my new nature in you. This is not giving something up temporarily. This is giving up hell permanently. This is going to heaven for eternity. But this is also being released to live in liberty in this lifetime. You say, you mean you can do whatever you want to do? No, no, no. You don't want to do it anymore. And the liberty is he changes your desires to where you live free from all that domination of sin. Is that right? Come on, you're looking at me like, what did you just say? Get saved and it all makes sense. Right now you're in the blinded side. If you're not saved yet, you're saying, I'm not getting it. But you know, right now your heart's beating, your conscience is saying, it's right, it's right, it's right, it's right. Walk on over by faith and receive Christ as Savior, and you'll never want to go back. How many in here that are saved, that have received Christ as Savior? How many of you are saved, by the way? You are?
Yeah.
Look, would you want to give up your salvation? And go back and let that old man have you? Let alone heaven and hell, let alone going to heaven. I wouldn't want him to have me on this earth because he would make a mess of it. Look at Acts chapter 1. Here's the solution. We won't go any further than this. But I want you to ponder this if you're saved already. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 5. For John truly what? Baptized. Say it again. What? Baptized with water. But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Brethren, and don't go off on me here. You say, what is baptism of the Holy Spirit? What is baptism of the Holy Ghost? If baptism is total immersion, then baptism of the Holy Ghost is to be totally immersed in Him. Is that right? And if we're totally immersed in Him, that old nature's dead and crucified. Look at Acts chapter 2. He said, hey, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Look what happens not many days hence in Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And they were all, say it, filled with the who? That's what happened not many days hence. I make this suggestion to you. Being filled with the Holy Ghost and being baptized with the Holy Ghost are basically one and the same. How often are you baptized in the Holy Spirit?
I hope daily.
How often are we filled with the Spirit?
I hope daily.
Because that's how that inward man is renewed day by day by day. You mean you can go to God every day and say, fill me?
Absolutely.
Many times of a day, baptize me. Many times
He'll do it.
And what is the result of that? The old man being crucified. Why? The Spirit takes over and says, you're an enemy against God. You're drawing this that I own away from God. And you'll not do it any longer today. And he crucifies the old man. He mortifies the deeds of the flesh. Who does? The Spirit. Romans 8. You all right with that? But man, I never thought about baptism in the Holy Spirit and be filled. I didn't know that was a thing. It's the same. In Acts 1:5, baptized. And not many days hence, that's Acts chapter 2, filled. Immersed, saturated with,
controlled by? Where's the old man? Where's the traveler? Sent on down the road. Amen. So we can draw near to God and be what we're supposed to be. Statement. One of the greatest things about passing off this earth is that we leave the traveling behind. When we get out of this old flesh, the wayfaring man stays behind. Never to be resurrected again. If you're not saved in here today, it'll be the wayfaring man for eternity. Never satisfied. You say, why are they grinding on their teeth in the lake of fire? Never satisfied. Why are they gnashing at their teeth and why are they blaspheming God in the lake of fire? Never satisfied. Because all it is an old carnal nature, domineering. No pity. No care about anybody else. Totally self-centered, but never satisfied. For all eternity, if I read this Bible right, never satisfied in the lake of fire. But in heaven, never unsatisfied. Totally filled with God. No carnal nature. No shadow of turning. Perfect in harmony with God. Why wouldn't somebody want to get saved today? And why wouldn't we, I include myself, not want to put on the armor of God against that evil day? I hope nobody falls, and let's not rejoice in anybody's stumbling. For by the grace of God, if a man's overtaken a fault, consider thyself. Examine thyself. Take heed of thyself. What? Lest thou also be tempted. With what? Our own lust and enticed and drawn away. With our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Don't leave. Please, please. It's too important. Don't disrupt somebody else. Forget about putting your Bible away and all that. Just for a moment, please. Please. I'm not trying to be unkind. If you're in here today, and you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you do something to expose that old man? Would you simply let me pray for you? You say, well, how could I expose the old man with our heads bowed and eyes closed? By you raising your hand and saying, Pastor, pray for me, you expose him. Nobody's going to be looking around to make fun of you, and nobody's going to be looking around to try to, you know, do something to you in trickery. But expose that old nature. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, Pastor, I'm not saved. I want to go to heaven. I want to be with God forever. I don't want to be in that lake of fire, never satisfied. If that's you, would you let me pray for you? Would you slip up your hand and say, that's me, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Good. Thank you. Someone else. Thank you for your honesty. Pray for me. Father, please draw them to yourself. May they get victory over that old nature through Jesus Christ. May the Spirit indwell and crucify the old nature. Even today, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, Christian, husband and wife, maybe it's a good day to hit the altar together. Family, maybe it's a good day to come to an old-fashioned altar. Rock altars, earth altars, altars in the tabernacle, altars in the temple, they commune with God all through the Bible. And we call the front of our toy not old-fashioned altar. If you want to use the pew, don't be afraid and say, well, if I come, somebody will think this or that. Don't even worry about that. If you know somebody right now consumed with that wayfaring man, pray for them that God would work to release them. Please, if that's you here today, I offer you the altar now. No music yet. I offer the altar now. It's be opened. If you have somebody you brought with you, no music yet. If you have somebody you brought with you and you care about and you just want to say, hey, anything I can do for you, I care about you. Maybe a husband and wife today, it's a private time. Maybe you with someone else. Maybe you by yourself. Maybe you raised your hand for salvation, you need to come. Now, we'll let the music play. If you'd like to come, come. Come. You want to stay seated and pray, if you want to kneel down and pray. If you want to use an altar, if you want to gather with somebody.